Amen. Well, we're going to do a series on James. I don't know about you. I really like the book of James. There's lots of big themes in that. But to start it off, James, or St. James, as traditionally the church would call him, one of the apostles, he was also the half-brother of Jesus somehow. I really tried to dig into this, and it sounds like Joseph's father might have been James's father. So it would be like uncle and nephew situation, I think, but I'm not sure. The scripture says half-brother of Jesus. So they were very closely related. Like of all the apostles, the 12 disciples, these two were, they were actual blood relatives, which is kind of crazy to think about. James is the earliest, is believed to be the earliest New Testament book. It does not come first, right? But it's believed to be the first written hand. Like, this is the guy that has eyewitness to Jesus. I mean, he's living, walking the same time as Jesus. And so scholars believe that he actually wrote this book first of all the ones in the New Testament. And it's written to Christians around Jerusalem. They've been scattered for whatever reason. They're facing heavy persecution. They're facing all the troubles of that day. And then he's currently, I don't think he's in prison or anything, but he's pastoring the church in Jerusalem that kind of started the whole movement. So James is there in Jerusalem doing the groundwork for the church, and he's writing this book or this letter to the Christians who've been scattered around Jerusalem through persecution. So we're going to do a five-week series, and we're going to explore the major themes in the book of James, and there's several of them. But today, we're going to talk about testing and persevering, which is not a super fun thing to talk about. I know you guys are excited to hear about it, and I'm excited to talk about it, but it's one of those things that's right there in the front of the book. And so if we're going to go through James, we can't really ignore that. And I do think, while it's not super exciting, it is very helpful. So, first question to kind of get our brains on this, have you ever been tested before? And this could be in any way, right? There's lots of ways we can be tested, right? The first one, I think my brain is like most of yours sometimes, but I've had my patience tested, right? You ever had your patience tested? That's not a fun thing. Yesterday is what I meant by that. Yesterday I had a meeting for my district position in Fort Wayne, and I rented a car to go up there. Ours are just getting old, and I don't trust them anymore, and there was a budget for that. So I did it, and I rented a car, went up there, went to my meeting, and then Silas had a ball game right after. So I drove to the ball game. Afterward, taking the boys, the girls, Becca and Nora, went to a store, and Silas and Ty and myself, we went to take the rental car back and then pick up my truck and go home. Now, we had stopped for gas, somewhere around Fisher's. They wanted a snack. Okay, no big deal. Well, then Ty wants Silas's snack, right? Because that's how it always works. Well, Silas, a little more cleanly and responsible than Ty is. Silas is 8, Ty's 3. He wanted these kind of Cheetos, and so he's eating them. Well, then Ty wants to have them, and Silas is sick of them, so they switch. And we're getting ready to turn this rental car in. Surprisingly, Ty did very, very well, even though I was on edge the whole time. We get to a gas station, fill it up, because they charge you a fortune if not, and then throw all the trash away, but he was fighting me over these Cheetos. And I finally just said, whatever, it's not spilled them yet, no big deal. Get rid of all the napkins, all the trash, anything that we had in the car, pull into the rental car lot, and what's the first thing Ty does? Oh yeah, upside down, right on the floor. Oh, my patience was tested yesterday, right? That was all I could do not to just toss him out of the car and ask if anybody wanted him, right? Oh, I knew it was going to happen, and it happened. Testing your patience is not fun. Having your patience tested is not fun. There's also lots of other ways we can be tested. You can test your knowledge, right? At the end of high school, you're encouraged, if you're going to go to a four-year college, take the ACT or the SAT, and it's a just this test of what you know, right? SAT, I think, is math and English based, and then the ACT adds in like science and history. No, reading. It's been so long since I've taken these tests. My knowledge was not, it did not hold up very well, did it? Anyway, you can have your knowledge tested, and you do this through school. It was called I-STEP when I was in school. I'm not sure what it's called now, but the standardized test to test your knowledge. Here's a test we've all become very familiar with, right? Whether we like it or not, we've all had one of these things jammed up our nose and rubbed on the little thing, right? It's horrible. You can be tested for all kinds of things physically. You can test your skills. Silas was at had a baseball game yesterday. It was a scrimmage. They've got a couple tournaments coming up in October, and the teams got together to test their skills to see where they were at before these tournaments started. And you can test your strength, right? This is a strongman competition. I'm pretty sure in 2008, by the license plate, World's Strongest Man 2008. This man is wearing a car like it's his Halloween costume. Isn't that crazy? That is wild. But you can test your strength, and there's competitions and all these things to do that. We can be tested in so many ways, and I think you know where we're going this morning, but when our faith is tested, right? That's where we find ourselves in James, is when our faith is being tested. And so testing and persevering in the context of faith. So when our faith is tested, it can be tested through many, many things. A ton of them would be trials, adversity, suffering. The list can go on and on and on. The longer you sit there and think about it, the more you can come up with ways to be tested, especially through your faith. But when faith is tested, that produces perseverance, maturity, and deeper faith. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning through this passage of Scripture found in James. So we're going to start in verse 1. It's a lot of verses, but I can read pretty quick. So we'll get through it, and then we'll break it into chunks. So it's verses 1 through 18. This is James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. It says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plants, its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So, there's a lot there, but the first very weird thing, right? Consider it pure joy when you face trials. I honestly don't remember because I read so much, but it's when you face trials or when you're persecuted, consider it pure joy. That is a very, very weird thing to say. When you think of things that bring you joy, what do you think about? Maybe kids or grandkids, family, Football, obviously. What else? Sleep, yes. Yes. Right? You think of things that are, you're not thinking of trials or persecution or things that might make you feel miserable or in pain. That's never something associated in my brain, at least, with joy. Now, hard work, maybe, right? But it's voluntary. It's not involuntary hard work. It's not something I consider pure joy. Consider pure joy in your suffering and trials. So this scripture is broke down into three parts, in my mind anyway. So we're going to go through those three parts and then kind of button it up at the end. Part one is the testing. Part one is the testing. So this is when our faith is tested. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Notice what is bold and capitalized there. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Not if ever you face trials of some kinds. It is when you face trials of many kinds, consider it pure joy. Still a very weird thing to say, and I'm not really following what James is getting at. But what he's saying right out of the gate is that our faith is going to be tested. He's guaranteeing that. Our faith is going to be tested. There are going to be so many different things in this life that are going to throw you for a loop or that are going to make you feel pain. They're going to make you wish that you weren't even alive, right? There are a lot of trials and tribulations in this world, and our faith is going to be tested by that. James is guaranteeing that right after the greeting, right? Hey, how you doing? Listen, life is really, really tough. That's pretty bleak. I think it gets better, though. So all these trials that we're looking at, right? They can be things like pain, physically, emotionally, relationally, pain of any kind, any category where you can hurt, that's a kind of trial to be had. Mental health issues, right? That's a huge one right now that's affecting lots and lots and lots of the country. Death and disease, stuff we all have to deal with. Financial loss, that's a whole other kind of pain. Persecution, now, somehow we won the lottery as to where we were born, right? And we've, to this point, not had to face that sort of persecution religiously. But that doesn't mean that people are free of it, right? There's a lot of people meeting in secret this morning. I know how time zones work, but just for conversation's sake, there's a lot of people meeting this morning in secret, right? Because they are being persecuted, and we are so fortunate to not have to deal with that. But that is a trial that Christians face around the world, and especially when this was written to these specific Christians outside of Jerusalem who've already been displaced because of, I think he said scattered in the opening, but because of persecution. And it's something we may face someday. We really don't know what the future holds, but we know that it is real and that it's an option as one of the many trials that we could face in this life. So then, with all these trials, doubt starts to kind of creep in, and it leaves us asking questions, and this is kind of really when our faith gets tested, but we have questions like, is God even real? Have you ever, you know, be honest? I mean, that's a hard, you know, is God even real? Why am I, or if God is so good, why is he allowing me to suffer? Why is he allowing this to happen in my life? Or why won't God heal my loved one that's sick or has this ailment? Why won't God heal this person that I care about? Or why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God intervene right now? There's something. He's got to be able to do something, right? If we knew the answers to these questions, we wouldn't need faith, right? Us humans totally, I mean, if we were in control, right, we could just take control when things go bad. It would be easy, right? But it's not, and we can't. If we knew the answers to these questions, we wouldn't need faith. Fortunately for us, God cares enough about us that he craves a relationship of deep faith with us. Verse 3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith, right, you know that it's going to be tested, produces perseverance. And so that takes us, or I guess again, reiterating, our faith will be tested. So that takes us to part two, which is perseverance. So testing, perseverance, and then there's a third one that's like the really good news. Perseverance, this is defined by Webster's, is persistence in doing something despite difficulty. And then it even goes on to say, or length in achieving success, or however long this takes to achieve success. Oh, there it is. I fixed it. Or delay in achieving success. So the question is, what does success look like as a follower of Jesus? It's different, right? It's not what the world would tell you it is. What does success look like as a follower of Jesus? Verse 4 says this, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lack nothing." That sounds pretty good. Mature, complete, and lack nothing. So perseverance, this is success, right? Perseverance equals wholeness in Christ, or lacking nothing. That's a pretty good place to be, I think, if we're mature, complete, and lack nothing. I mean, that's a feeling that I want. You guys awake? Was there a concert last night? Is that why you were all out at the concert, weren't you? Goodness. That's a feeling I want to have, is wholeness and completeness and lacking nothing and maturity. That's a pretty good place to be, wanting for nothing. Perseverance calls us into deeper relationship with God. This is why we can consider it pure joy when we go through trials, because we're being called into this deeper relationship with God. Perseverance calls us to trust God more. Calls us to trust God more. Perseverance increases our capacity to hope, right? Perseverance increases our capacity to hope. If we keep the faith through our trials, no matter how long it takes to succeed, no matter how long it takes to get through it, it increases our capacity to hope as a person. That's pretty cool, right? So trials and perseverance is actually allowing us to rely more on God and to hope, be a more hopeful person. Little flowchart for you. Tested faith turns to perseverance, then dependence upon God, and then in deeper faith. And it's just a circle. So our faith is tested. We persevere through it. We depend upon God more in the process and come out the other side with deeper faith. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool how James is explaining this and setting this up for us. Tested faith and perseverance can be vital to our walk as Christians. Isn't that weird to think? Ugh, I hate that. But we have to kind of consider it pure joy because it's going to grow us. Man, what a weird place to see. I told you I wasn't excited about talking about this. I'm not comfortable with it either. Tested faith and perseverance can be vital to our walk as Christians. Part three, this is the good part, comes the promise. Promise number one, blessed are those who persevere. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Blessed is the one who perseveres. That's the first promise. If you are willing to persevere, to depend on God through your trials, you are blessed and you will receive the crown of life that has been promised. And after that, he follows up with like the whole thing about rich people. That was scary too. It's like they're going to wither like a flower and all that. So just keep that in mind. God is going to reward you for seeing it through. Right? God is going to reward you for seeing through your trials, for not abandoning the faith, for allowing your faith to be tested and stretched and worked and depending on him more. You will be rewarded. Maybe not in this life, right? But you will be rewarded for that. Promise number two, God is not trying to throw you off, right? Being tested, having our faith tested, is not God playing puppet master, is what James is saying. 13 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." So when we're being tempted is not say, oh, this is God giving me a test. No, that's sin in the world, and you need to run from it, right? And not blame God for giving you a test. This is not the business God is in. He's not trying to, he's not throwing lightning bolts at you or trying to figure out where he can make you make a wrong turn and say, I gotcha. He's saying, rely on me, depend on me, get through this trial, and your faith will be better for it. We cannot blame God for being tempted by sin. That is a scary trap to fall in. God wants only the best for us. He is not here to try and make us slip up. He's not trying to make us make the wrong move. Now, Satan, on the other hand, yes, very much so. But God does not exist in that realm with sin. He's not playing around with sin and tempting you with it. Promise number three, God wants us to be the best of his creation. God wants us to be the best of his creation. Verse 18, which is the last one, says he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. First fruits is the best, right? It's what you would give as a sacrifice or an offering or a tithe or whatever. That is the best of the creation. So God wants deep relationship with the best of his creation. That ought to make you feel pretty good, right? He wants us to be the first fruits of all that's created. I happen to really like bears and think they're super cool, but like, I'm better than that, says the Bible, right? The first fruit. We are to be the first fruits of all that is created. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty noble. Doesn't that make you feel a little bit better? Okay, it does me. You guys are so stinking quiet this morning. God wants... Yeah, maybe. Yeah. God wants deep relationship with the best of his creation. So, to end the message, four truths to take away. And these are all just kind of based right into the scripture. We'll go back through it. If you need wisdom during the trial, just ask. If you need wisdom during the trial, just ask. Verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Gives generously to all without finding fault. That's pretty cool. Lots of faults here. It's nice to know that if I ask for wisdom, God's going to give it to me generously, regardless of my faults. Number 2, don't let doubt creep into the process. Don't let doubt creep into the process. Verse 6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. James gets more aggressive in verse 7 and says that person is not of stable mind and won't be able to do anything. So if we're asking for wisdom, we're not to be doubting the one we're asking. Does that make sense? Faith and doubt don't work well together. It's not a good place to be. It's not that you can't have doubts and that you're wrong for having doubts, but if we're going to persevere through faith in our trials and we're asking God, we probably shouldn't doubt him. So, number 3, God is not tempting you. The third truth is God is not tempting you. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God wants your deep faith and trust. He does not want to throw you off. God is for you, not against you. He is not putting sin in front of you like a carrot to try and get you to bite. God wants your deep faith and trust. And number 4, tested faith plus perseverance equals wholeness. So when our faith is tested and we persevere through that, we are made mature, complete, and lacking nothing. I don't know where my stuff just went. Anyway, I think that was pretty much the end. Yeah. Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for your message in testing and perseverance. God, that's not a fun place to live. It's not a fun place to be, but it's so nice to know that on the other side comes deeper faith and comes rewards promised from you. Chances are, God, those are eternal rewards. God, help us to live in that. Help us to know and expect trials of many kinds to come. You're guaranteeing it in Scripture. Help us to get our minds wrapped around that. Help us to allow our faith to be tested and to persevere through, rather than just abandoning ship or saying, this God stuff isn't for me, or is God even real? But to say, I'm not alone in this. I know everyone is facing trials. I'm going to lean into my faith. I'm going to persevere through this, and I'm going to give God the glory in the meantime. I'm going to consider it joy to be tested. God, help us to live in that, especially those of us who are going through the trial right now. God, help us to just live in our faith in you. You're calling us to persevere, which is going to in turn transform into deeper faith. God, that's something we all want. Help us to realize testing and perseverance is vital to our walk. God, we just thank you for this word today. Help us to just live in your grace and pour that grace out to others as we leave this place today. Go with us. Go before us. Give us opportunities to minister. Give us opportunities to represent you well and to share your love and your word with those around us. Thank you. We thank you for testing. We thank you for perseverance. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.